This past March, Wisconsin's legislature voted almost unanimously to remove control of the Milwaukee County Mental Health System from the county board. The new legislation instead called for the creation of a state-appointed board of medical professionals and others to run the system.
The decision came after decades of reports of dysfunction in the system, including sexual assaults, deaths, and an inability to create long-term treatment programs for patients.
Last Friday, Governor Walker named the final two members of the new 13-member Milwaukee Mental Health Board. He missed the June 9th deadline to name those appointees. Joining us now is Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Health and Welfare investigative reporter Meg Kissinger. She led the paper's investigation of the mental health care system there that led to this ongoing overhaul. Meg, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
So Governor Walker's deadline on these appointees was earlier this month. He hit those a little late. Did he give reasons for that delay?
He didn't. He actually kind of took umbrage at my even asking about that and said that he had named a quorum. It was sufficient for a quorum, but some in the mental health community saw it as a little bit of an affront. You know, there's a lot of excitement and expectation and hope riding on a board that is staffed with medical professionals and people with lived experience, and the expectation was that it would be launched with a little fanfare and not just dribbled out.
And do we have a sense of the direction that the state's trying to move the system by looking at who those 13 appointees are?
Well, they come by way of nominations. So these weren't folks that that the governor just capriciously chose. They are people who are on a list submitted to him from both County Executive Chris Abley, who had four nominations of four of the 13 board members, and then a county board that had five. And then the remaining numbers came from dedicated spots by various groups, including the Medical College of Wisconsin and the Mental Health Task Force. And so so these were people, everybody on that list is somebody well-known in the mental health community in Milwaukee.
As you described last time you were on, this board has its work cut out for it. A lot of problems in the mental health system. Everybody pretty much seems to agree with that. What is success for this new board down the road?
So that's a great question. I think that success looks like real and substantive change and not the same old, same old. And, you know, as we have reported time and again, 30 years or more of lip service, really, to improving conditions for people with mental illness and, promises unkept. And as we wait for changes in that, the clunky old structure of Milwaukee County's mental health system, groans on and chewing up, within, our patients really suffering. And conditions at the complex have deteriorated. Years ago, they gave up accreditation, et cetera. We've, documented all along the failures. And so there's just, a lot of hope. And so success, from my way of thinking, looks at substantive change, and in particular, moving it away from this very institutionalized structure relying on an institution to mental health in the community.
And again, as you described last time, the priority over the last few decades has been hospitalization, in effect, institutionalization of people with mental illness. The move, the priority, it sounds like, is to go to more community treatment programs, community residential programs. Is that a priority for this new board?
Yes. And that has been a problem everywhere, really. We can't claim sole ownership of that awful situation, because universally across the United States, this when institutions began to shut down, and a lot for very good reasons, the promise was that care would be delivered at mental health centers based in neighborhoods, and that just didn't happen. Those weren't built, and for a lot of reasons. And so, so that is where the focus will be now. And, a lot of things are happening concurrent to that. So just today begins, mental health parity nationally. And And so, you know, as a part of the Affordable Care Act, the promise is, you know, health care for all, regardless of the ability to buy insurance, and that includes mental health conditions.
There's been some controversy from the labor angle on this, moving away from that mental health complex, unionized jobs. The legislators behind the legislation we're talking about say it would allow outsourcing, going away from union jobs. What's the current state of affairs on that?
Right, and I think that this is a situation that doesn't fit into a very tight box on that question. So, in other words, you know, the labor unions that work very hard to keep jobs for their members, you know, have a vested interest in both keeping the hospitals running, but, you know, no one is too cynical, or I hope not, that unions are just fighting back, you know, pushing back on closing the hospital for the sake of saving jobs, because certainly there are jobs, good jobs to be had, you know, in the community. And so, you know, the motivations I want to believe are not altogether selfish on either side, you know, or shouldn't be. I mean, the central question should always be what is the best for the health, you know, the mental health of patients.
And union members have raised safety concerns. If the complex, the mental health complex, is closed or downsized too quickly, you don't have enough staff to deal with the patients who are still there.
Right. And you know, I think that is a very important role for them to play, to ask the hard questions. Okay, we have, so for example, at the mental health complex in Milwaukee County, we have long-term care units. And just to understand, you know, so that your listeners know, I mean, these are not people who are going through mild depression, not to minimize the effects of mild depression, but we are talking about people with very deep-rooted and wide-ranging disabilities that need great structure. And so you can't simply say, okay, we're downsizing and good luck out in the community. There needs to be guarantees, you know, that people are being placed in settings, in homes that have that can be scrutinized and inspected, and we can and society can check their well-being.
As this change happens, who pays for it, and is it going to be more or less expensive from what we know now?
Well, those,
huge question, I know.
Yeah, right, right. Who pays for it? A lot. You and I, both in terms of county dollars, state dollars, federal dollars, and then, you know, for people that have private insurance, which almost nobody in the population that we're talking about, you know, people with real profound both developmental and mental health worries or issues, they are not going to have most likely private insurance. So, yeah, it's public dollars that we're talking about.
And briefly, I've heard there might be a shortage of key professionals, maybe psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, and others to ease this transition to community care and treatment. Is that true?
Yeah,
is that a problem?
That is the next big story in mental health. So as we transition, you know, from this institutional care into the community, what good is it going to do us if we don't have the doctors to supply the care? And, you know, as is well documented, child psychiatrists, that is the number one shortage in medicine today, are child psychiatrists. There is not a child psychiatrist north of Wausau in the state of Wisconsin. So you can have all the clamor, you know, you can have the great demand for care, but if you don't have the supply, we're in big trouble.
We'll leave it there for now, but probably check in with you again on this, I imagine. Meg, thanks for joining us.
Please do. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel investigative reporter Meg Kissinger, talking about the progress in creating Milwaukee's new mental health board. She reported and continues to report the Chronic Crisis series, which led to this major overhaul.